Valentine's Day is just around the corner. It's a holiday that inspires some of us to roll our eyes at cheesy Hallmark cards and endless consumerism. But you know, there's a chance also to embrace the opportunity to celebrate our loved ones. Two UNC Chapel Hill staff recently decided to document their own non-traditional love story in a new book. Jonathan Weiler and Ann Menkins met in the early 90s when they were both grad students at UNC. Within 2 years, they were engaged, and 6 months later, they got married. That is where the love story strays far from most Hollywood rom-coms. In fact, the two are no longer married, and in Jonathan's words, our love story begins with our divorce. Their book, Divorce, A Love Story, documents how they found a new kind of love and successfully co-parented their now 18-year-old daughter, Lillian. Jonathan Weiler is adjunct professor and director of the undergraduate global studies curriculum at UNC Chapel Hill, and he's been on the show before in a number of capacities. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Ann Menkins, assistant director for the UNC Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center. Ann, welcome back. You've been here before on a number of occasions as well.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. Well, Jonathan, tell us by start out by telling us why you decided to write this book.
Well, so originally we were motivated to write the book because we split up when our daughter was 4 years old, and we developed a quite cooperative parenting relationship, enough so that other people we knew felt like it was unusual and would say things to us like, maybe you should write a book about it. And so originally, I think we thought of this as something of a self-congratulatory exercise. But once we got into it and once our daughter got older, and especially as she entered adolescence, things got more complicated. And so I think our motivation became as much as anything to try to think through our struggles as a divorced couple that still had a relationship, and a very important relationship, and how to navigate that.
And you were more reticent about writing this book and kind of going public with this. Am I right?
Well, yes.
You were even reticent to acknowledge that, I noticed.
All right. So when we first started thinking about it, our daughter was three.
Yeah.
And we were, yes, Jonathan's right. We were pretty self-congratulatory and and by the time we actually started writing, she was about 13. And if you know anything about children, by the time they're 13, the very things you thought were the best thing in the world you could ever do become the worst thing in the world you could ever do. So my reticence always has come from this feeling that, A, we have a little fact checker in our house, and someday she'll be able to call us on some of this self-congratulatory material.
Well, and her sense of how your parenting is going at the age of 13 is going to be different than when she was 3 and again when she's 23.
Well, and not only that, but just think how mortified you would have been if at 13 your parents were writing a novel, or not a novel, writing a book about their parenting of you.
Well, tell us the story, Jonathan. Take us back now. Tell us about the beginning of your relationship.
So we met as graduate students, actually, at UNC in 1993. And I was quite smitten right away. And we started dating very shortly after we met. And we had, we had a pretty quick courtship, actually. And so we got engaged about 15 months after we met. And then, as you said, we got married shortly after that. And then I went to Russia for a year, actually, to do dissertation research. And Ann and I were apart during that time. And when I returned, we were already facing some concerns about our relationship on the one hand. And on the other hand, there was an imperative to have a child.
Well, Ann, tell me more about that and the decision to get married and from your point of view.
Okay, so Jonathan's correct about all the timing. I was about 29, and I remember I had spent about a year single, but before that I'd had a long relationship that had ended basically at the altar. So I may have come into it feeling that I was, getting old and wanting to get together. And of course, I loved Jonathan. We had a great time together at the time. So his trip to Russia was a time, it was our first year of being married, and then when he came back, so we had already been married a year, we got used to living together again, but it was true that I was sort of the impetus to want to have a child.
But what was happening? What were you noticing in the relationship that had changed?
Well, you know, we had always gotten along very well, one-on-one, and had a lot of fun. And I think that what we were finding was that that wasn't enough for us in terms of being together as husband and wife, I think.
Well, Jonathan, tell us, you went into couples therapy shortly after the marriage, right?
We did, and we went into couples therapy actually shortly after our daughter was born, and we were struggling with the question, as we write about in our book, we were struggling with what we felt was a lack of sort of romantic connection. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that's hard to, you can try to work on it, but that's the kind of thing that can be hard to conjure up. And so we struggled and wrestled with that issue for quite a long time.
There's also a suggestion in the book that this was not necessarily something you had lost, that it had not been deeply present, this kind of intimacy you refer to, even from the start. Anne?
That's true. As far as I was concerned, it wasn't on the top of my list of things I felt I needed in a marriage at the time. Now, that may sound unrealistic, but for me, I was sort of keeping lists. You know, we were getting along great. I thought he'd be a wonderful father. I thought together we would parent well. And those all turned out to be true.
So what happens in therapy? Now, you're talking about this, you're relating this, and it was interesting to see that first experience, how hard your therapist was trying to keep you together.
Yeah, so we had two therapy experiences, and in the first one, as you said, I think we both felt that our therapist's goal was for us to stay together because he saw that as his job as a couples therapist. And we bristled at that. We felt like we need to figure out whether this is right. And if right means not being together, then that needs to be something we take seriously. And our second couples therapist had a very different agenda. And her agenda was, you need to figure out what's best for yourselves. And if you're going to try to stay together in something that's not working, that's not going to be good for you. And it's not going to be good for your daughter.
Tell me about your thought process through this, Anne, because, again, this whole question of what's good for me becomes so complicated when you have other people who you care about, a husband you care about, and a child. So you care about each other, and then there's the sort of the me part of it that's already been changed dramatically by these other relationships. What does that mean for you? Sort of how do you weigh that question when it comes to you?
Well, you know, one interesting thing is we thought we were hiding all of this from our child. So you talk about protecting the child, but she was only three. And when we were really going through it for the second time, and one night, for example, we were at a friend's house and she announced, and this was before we felt we had shared anything with her. She announced to them, "My mommy and daddy fight all the time. And daddy's going to move out, but they both still love me," which is, of course, exactly what our therapist and everyone else in the world would have, you know, says you should say to your child. We hadn't said that to her. So in terms of protecting her, I think that was an eye-opening moment where we said, you know, she's very literal. If we say we can fool other people, we can say we have a happy marriage and family. We can't necessarily fool the three-year-old in the house. And her feeling of, wow, my parents are saying they're happy, but clearly they're not happy. And that was very anxiety producing for her. So,
well, and clearly she's reading something in you that you're not seeing. So you're actually hiding something from yourselves, it seems to be, Jonathan.
I think that's right. I mean, I wanted to say quickly that I think what Anne just described was Lillian's good early instincts as a three-year-old fact checker. Who, as you say, was reading things that we ourselves were still wrestling to come to terms with. And in part because I think as much as we gained clarity about what we should do, there's always those social pressures and the question of how are other people going to judge us and how are people, our family, our friends, how are they going to react to this? And of course, we felt guilt about what this would mean for our precious young daughter. And so all of those things were bearing on our decision.
Divorce, a love story, the subject today on The State of Things. Anne Mankins and Jonathan Weiler are co-authors of the book detailing their divorce and how they managed to co-parent. So talk about that, the divorce and the decision process, and a bit about co-parenting as well.
Yeah, so we did decide when Lillian was about 4 years old that Whatever we were trying to do to make our relationship work in the ways we've been describing wasn't and was unlikely to. And so we decided to split up. And, you know, part of that process was starting to tell friends and family. And then, of course, very importantly, was to come to an understanding about what kind of living arrangement we would have. And those evolved over time. But initially, I moved out essentially a few doors down in the same apartment complex we'd been living in. But, you know, we were still spending a lot of time together initially and in the early years. And I think it's I'll just speak for myself. I think that I was still clearly relying on Anne in all sorts of emotional ways, even after we made this decision to split up. And part of that was because we had the same parenting values, I would say. And then part of that was I still trusted Anne as a friend and a loved one and somebody that I felt close to.
Anne?
I would second all of that. I think that our initial plan was to make it as seamless as possible for our daughter. So we did leave her mostly at staying at my house, and Jonathan came over often to be with her.
And as you pointed out, you're living pretty close to each other.
We were living very close. And I was torn by that whole setup, and just because it felt a little oppressive. We were no longer, I wasn't pushing to be independent either. So I'm not blaming Jonathan for that. But we were still very dependent upon each other.
You have relationships now, other relationships, each of you, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Anne is married, and I have a significant partner, and yes.
And Lillian's 18. How is she doing? Although she should be here. She'll have another answer. Oh, I know she will, but you may speak for her now temporarily.
She's doing great. She's doing great. She's in her senior year of high school. We're going through all the college applications and thinking about paying those tuition bills.
Very briefly, I don't have too much time left, and I'm sorry for that, but is this transferable? You've written the book. It would clearly be good for those going through this to read it. But how unique is your situation, do you think? Is this good advice for anybody?
So I want to answer that quickly in two ways. The first is I have a close friend who, when I first told him we were going to write this book a few years ago, he joked. He said, "Oh, so the advice is going to be that everybody should be like you?" And you know, and so I mean, to some degree, I think we're unusual in how well we get along and those sorts of things. But I think in another way, I think our book is really all about the fact that these are really Anne's words, that a divorce relationship is still a relationship. And it bears working on it. I mean, and we're talking, of course, specifically in instances where you have a child together, because you are always going to be bound by that fact. And there's work to do, and you will evolve as parents, and you'll evolve as people. And so to pretend that there's a complete cutoff of the relationship after divorce just because you're no longer together in that prescribed married way, I think is a mistake. And I think it's something we're trying to speak to in the book.
Jonathan Weiler and Anne Mankins, the co-authors of the new book, Divorce, A Love Story. Thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find out more information about their book at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Flamenco Vivo Carlato Santana, one of the nation's premier flamenco troupes, is in the area, and we will hear from them soon on the State of Things. Stay tuned.